My beautiful people, and welcome to Mindful the Podcast. I'm thrilled today to introduce my special guest, Shannon Talbot. And on this episode, we will be discussing Shannon's inspiring and transformative book, Breaking Free. Now, Breaking Free is a book that guides you to, you know, creating and living the career and life of your dreams. And that's what we want to do, live our dreams, people. So let me tell you a little about Shannon. Shannon is a former corporate leader in the financial and advertising industries. She is a certified health, life, and transformational coach. And Shannon is also a keynote speaker and now an author, sharing her experiences with us. So thank you and welcome, Shannon.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
All right. So Shannon, as I said before, congratulations on the release of your book,
Breaking Free. Thank you.
So tell us about the book.
Sure. So this is basically the book that I wish I had had when I was, you know, starting out my career. But then as I, you know, became a mom and a wife and was trying to balance home life with my work life and still be successful and learn to manage my stress and all of that great stuff. So I wrote the book that I wish I'd had. And essentially it's to help anyone who feels stuck, feels like they're holding back, or really just, you know, knows they're capable of more and wants to unleash some of that greatness onto the world.
Okay. And I love that because, you know, there's a time in, I think, everybody's life. I had a time in my life, like 2016, where I thought that there was more and more for me to give, more for me to do, you know? But as you said, you were kind of stuck. So I love that we have a book that, you know, can guide us, can help us to get through that, my word, stuckness.
Yes, love it. Yeah, you can.
All right. So let's talk about our goals and going after our goals. How do we do that?
So it starts with, and in the book, I start with, you know, creating the vision. So a lot of times I think, you know, when we're kids, we have big dreams, right? We're like, oh, I can do anything. You know, before people start telling us it's silly or stupid or we can't do it or, you know, all of those things. But we usually have big dreams when we're kids. And then as we get older, reality sets in and it becomes more about, oh, I have to pay the bills or buy groceries or, you know, be an adult. Yeah. And sometimes we forget what we really want to do. So I do an exercise in the book that's all about what lights us up. And I think that's something we need to do more of. And so for me, you know, any part of setting your goals or that vision is picture your ideal day. It could be 5 years from now. It can be 10 years from now. But ideally far enough away that you don't get bogged down in, oh my gosh, how am I ever going to make that happen? And, you know, all the doubt creeps in. Just picture your ideal day. What would that look like? What would it include? Who would it include? You know, who do you want to be around? And maybe it's people in your life now, or maybe that person isn't in your life yet. And you want to think about, like, who is that person you want in your life? And then it's just a matter of, you know, what are the activities you want to do? What does your job look like if you're working? Or if not, you know, what hobbies do you have or interests? And it's letting yourself go there. And it's not necessarily thinking, oh, I'm going to work for this company in this industry. It's just more thinking, what are the types of things you want to be doing? And once you have that, you know, it kind of gives us energy and it reignites our passion. From there, then you can go backwards and say, okay, in reality now, what do I need to do in, say, the next 3 months or 6 months or a year to help me get towards that goal? And then it's just coming up with those, you know, and then it's breaking it down. We're breaking it down until it's really small and manageable and you know that you're taking steps in the right direction.
Okay. Because I've been trying to seek what a little change in my life also. But, you know, it's interesting that you said, you know, think of what you want your life to be. And sometimes as an adult, it's really hard yeah. to think about what you want your life to be and how to get there. And in the book, I love the chapter that talk about cutting the BS.
Yeah.
Cutting the BS. Sometimes yeah. we have to just cut out the BS and the excuses.
Yeah.
And I find that I have a lot of excuses or the BS. No time. That's the greatest one. You have no time, no money. And especially when you have children. So, Shannon, tell me, how do I work back
Yeah.
the dream that I want? Because right now I'm trying to see retirement.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
I'm looking at what I want my life to be for retirement. But tell me, how do I work towards that? How do I cut the BS? How do I cut the excuses?
Well, the first thing is to acknowledge the BS, right? And I break it into, we have four parts in our like BS. We have our excuses, which on average, we make 2,190 excuses a year as to why we can't do something. I think that's actually low. That's 6 excuses a day. And I'm like, I bet we made up excuses to not say how many excuses we make in a day, because I think we do a lot more. But it's the excuses. And as you said, the big one, I don't have the time. Well, we make time for what we prioritize. And it's like, you know, me, for example, I was horrible at exercising. It's still a struggle for me, although now I know the benefits. So I push through. But I would just make out, you know, I don't have time to exercise. Oh, my kids are too busy. I have to be driving my kids around or work or this or that. And it's like, yeah, it was all BS, right? I would go home and watch Netflix for 2 hours at night. You know, I had time. I just told myself I didn't to make myself feel better. So a lot of times we just tell ourselves what we think want to believe, right? Like, look at kids. If kids don't want to eat the Brussels sprouts, they're going to come up with a million reasons as to why they can't eat the Brussels sprouts, right? We're really great at excuses. And we started like when we were babies, basically. The second piece is our fears, right? And this is a hard one, because our fears are real, but they also hold us back. So we have, you know, fear of loss, like job loss or losing somebody. We have fear of embarrassment, fear of rejection. And all these things cause us to maybe not speak up or maybe not ask for what we want or ask someone out on a date or, you know, even just making a new friend. We may not do it because we're afraid of rejection or looking embarrassed. And then another thing I like to talk about that we don't talk about enough is we also have a fear of success. So it's like, okay, but if I get that job or if I get that client or if I, you know, that person says yes on a date, then oh my gosh, I'm actually going to have to get to know them or I'm going to have to actually prove I'm worthy. And then we go into this whole self-sabotaging because it's scary, right? It's scary to put ourselves out there. And then we have fear of judgment. Like, what are they going to think of me? What if they don't like me? You know, all of these things go together. And then the third piece is our bad habits. Right. So it's, you know, in my case, it's just easier to watch TV at night than go for a run. Right. It feels good to just lay in bed and watch TV. But the TV watching isn't helping me get to feel better. It's not helping my body get stronger and feel good and not helping me with the energy. Right. So it's really just something that's getting in the way. And the fourth one is probably the hardest one for all of us. And it is our beliefs. Or limiting thoughts, limiting beliefs, negative thoughts, whatever you want to call them. And these are the things that likely started when we were kids. And then they just kept getting heavier and heavier. It's like, you know, we started with a small suitcase and now we have a whole truckload of things that just keep piling in and things we tell ourselves like, I'm not pretty enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't know how. I'll never make it. I'll never be successful. I'll never have money. And they just pile on and on. And we believe them as true when a lot of the time they're just stories that we can rewrite. So that's a lot of information, I know. But the first step is really just like calling out your BS. Like, you know, as I was just saying those things, were there a couple things where you're like, oh yeah, that's me. Yes. I gotta, you know, that's so me. And it's acknowledging that.
Because I remember when I started this podcast, or before I started a podcast, I said, I'm going to do it because I like hosting. I like talking and I like talking to people. And I'm like, I'm going to do this thing. And I remember I bought the equipment and had it there for a year. And the BS is like, yes, those excuses. I don't sound good. I don't think I sound good. I don't know if I have the time. Mm-hmm. You know, it was all of these things just kept coming up. And even though when I started, it's like, okay, all right, you get the guest, you're doing the thing. And the fear of success That's it. It's like, okay, so I have to step up my game now. Can I actually, start talking to people that I don't know? So, how are they gonna think I am? And you're spot on,
And
all
it's
of
funny,
these
I hear
things.
back from people. I hear back from 20-year-olds going, "Oh my gosh, you're right. I use so many excuses." I heard back from a 94-year-old who was like, "Oh, the excuses, I still use them," right? It doesn't matter where we are in life, we all have the BS that we believe is true.
And I tell you, we have to just get over those humps, as he said, the fears, the bad habits, and it's not easy, because I know I'm working towards it, but sometimes they creep in, especially the little bad habits. They creep in,
Yeah. And that's why too, like I recommend, we can't go after all of them. So if you're listening to this and you're like, "Oh, check, 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 check. That's me. I have 100 things. Like, do not try and go after all of them. You're just going to set yourself up for failure. It's going to feel horrible. So it's like, pick one or two things. What are the one or two things that, and not necessarily the safe things, like pick the one or two things that are really getting in the way from you going after what you want. Right? What are those one or two bigger things that, yes, are going to feel uncomfortable and messy and scary to go after? But those are the things you probably do need to go after most, because they're going to get you on the other side in a better manner.
Okay. One thing in the book that resonated with me also, the chapter where you spoke about being you, because I remember, going back to 2016, it's like I was losing myself. I had my son. I have one son, and I have my son in 2015. And, being a new mother, everything came crashing. Trying to adjust life by myself and then trying to adjust with this baby. And it's like everything felt like it was going under. And I remember me thinking, I'm losing me. I'm losing myself. And I can remember vividly, I went to the pediatrician and the nurse, when I went and I said, "Oh, I'm here for the appointment." And she's like, "What's your name?" And I said, "Claudine." And she's like, "Who?" And I'm like, "Claudine." And I said, "My son's name. I'm his mom." And she's like, "Oh, that's what you must say. That's mom. That's what you are now called." And I'm like, no. But I felt like I was just going down under, and I had to stop and think, who am I? What do I like? And I love that in the book he said you have to strip yourself of all the roles that you play: the mom, the friend, the daughter, the planner, the everything. Can you expand on that for me?
Yeah, and maybe I'll just share a bit of my story too, because you're right, and that's seems to be the chapter that I keep hearing resonates with everybody. I think we're all in this at some point in our life. We did lose a bit of ourselves. And for me, it started in 2008. So I was working for a bank here in Canada, and it'd been really fun. It'd been really great. It was very entrepreneurial, and I was, traveling all over actually the Caribbean and Latin America, and it was so fun. And then in 2008, I got married. And that was the first time I got this title, right? So it was like, oh, I all of a sudden became a wife. And I told myself, oh, you're a wife now. You need to cook more. You need to learn to sew. You need to learn to garden. And those were all things I actually didn't like doing. But I told myself, oh, but you're a wife now. You have to do it. And then I went and I took a leave of absence, and I went and did my MBA at school. And then it was all of a sudden, oh, now I was reliant on my husband's income too. So then I really was like, oh, Shannon, like, oh, you're not being a very good wife here. Like, you're not picking up the slack at home and things like that. Went back to work. Shortly after that, I became a project manager, then a people manager, then later a director. And, I kept getting these titles, and then eventually a mom. And with each title, I put new expectations on myself. And I told myself, oh, this title has to act this way.
Oh, yes.
And you lose a little bit of yourself, right? Like, authentic Shannon was slowly like getting pushed down. She'd come out at times. I didn't lose myself completely, but I definitely changed who I was in what situation to, be liked or be respected or do what I thought I had to do to move up the corporate ladder, whatever it was. And then fast forward, you know, to I also didn't know how to manage my stress or my anxiety. And I put on a really great face at work, but then it'd be my family who, you know, would suffer. I'd be grumpy or miserable or impatient. And right? I'm sure a lot of us can relate. And then it was about 3 or 4 years ago now, I was pushing my youngest on the swing, who was 5, pushing him on the swing. And he said, "Mommy, can I give you a goal this year?" And I got really excited. I was doing my coaching certifications at the time. And I was like, "Yeah, it's all about goal setting. Let's go. What's your goal?" And he said, "Mommy, can you be less angry this year? You're angry all the time." And I was like, "Oh." I expected his goal to be like, "Go give me 100 push-ups, mom," or something. Like, I wasn't expecting that. It blindsided me, but it was the truth I needed to hear. And it was that moment where I was like, "You're right. You're right. I don't want to be in this stuck state, just trying to please other people and prioritizing myself last." And so I decided in that moment, I'm like, "No, you know what? I'm going to chase my happy. I'm going to take the leap. I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to start to be a coach and a speaker. I'm going to write that book. I'm going to prioritize my health, like, you know, finally." And I did. And it was the shove I needed to finally do that. And now, like, to be able to help other women and men do the same. It's just so incredible to see the transformation like it can have. And when we start to get ourselves back and the energy it can bring back, and just everyone around benefits when you can do that.
That's so true. And I have a similar experience with that, because my son was like the same way. Come home and I'm like, and he's like, "Mommy, are you miserable today?" You know, asking me, "Are you miserable today? Are you miserable now?" And I'm like, "Oh, you know, kids really let you have some introspection, really make you see yourself."
Yes, totally.
And at that moment, you have to say, "Okay, I was miserable," but you have to tone it down a little.
Yes.
I really, really, really get that. But we say that we have to chase our happy and get back ourselves, be authentically us. Mm-hmm. But sometimes that's a little hard, Shannon, because as adults, though, the family, work, you know, you're expected to do certain things. How can we get that balance? Is there ever a balance where we can do what we want, but do what society or what we think or what other people want us to do?
Yeah. And I think there's different seasons in our lives, right? If you have a newborn or even a toddler, you know, or you just started a new job or some other transition, yeah, it may be a bit different then, right? Your priorities may not be, you may not be the top of your priority list. But once you're through that phase a little bit, then I think the biggest thing is make sure you make it onto your list of priorities. And ideally, be number one. What I constantly hear from people, an exercise I do with all my coaching clients, is say, "Okay, tell me, what are your top 5 priorities right now across your whole life? What are your top 5 priorities?" 9 times out of 10, people don't make it onto their own list. It'll be like, "Oh, my kids, my partner, my parents, my job, I have this new big project at work. And then, oh, I'm a, you know, a volunteer for this organization," or whatever it is. It's like, okay, where are you on your list? Or I'll hear, "Oh, I'm on my list, but I'm the first thing to go when life gets busy," right? So it's like, that's the first thing. Put yourself on your list of priorities and do not take it off. And the best way to look at it too, especially if you're a people pleaser, which is a bad habit that a lot of us have as well. If you are a people pleaser, then another way of looking at it is, when you prioritize yourself, who wins? Who benefits? So, you know, once I could start to chase my happy, once I could start to bring my stress, you know, manage it a little bit better and bring it down, my kids saw that I was happier. They saw I had more energy. They benefited. So, you know, sometimes we think, oh, if I'm prioritizing myself, or if I'm doing this for myself, I'm taking time away from work or my family or whatever. It's like, but no, really, it's just helping them. They're benefiting. They're seeing a happier, healthier you. And you're also setting a really great example for those people in your life, right? If you're never prioritizing yourself, what message are you giving your kids or whoever it is in your life, right? You're saying, oh, you're not important. We don't want our kids to grow up like that. We all deserve happiness in our lives. And I think we all, you know, there's a way to chase it, without, you know, neglecting everything else in our lives.
That's so true. You have to put your fill your cup so that you can fill other cup.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Another thing that I wanted to expand a little on, Shannon, that's in the book that I liked was dropping the guilt. The guilt. The mom guilt is always on me. Always. You know, how do we drop that guilt of, am I doing enough? Am I good enough? Dropping the guilt and giving yourself, as you said, permission to chase your happy.
Yeah. So it's really similar to what we were just talking about. You know, my kids make me feel guilty all the time, right? Like if I'm going out for a night with friends, my youngest is like, "What do you mean you can't put me to bed? I want you to put me to bed. Why are you going out? What time are you going to be home?" Blah, blah, blah. You know, all the questions. And it used to really bother me, right? It used to be like, then I'd go out and it'd be on the back of my mind and be like, "Oh, I feel bad. I missed bedtime," or whatever it is. But now I'm like, no, you know what? After I have been out for a night with friends, I'm like a lot happier the next day. I have more energy. I'm more present with my kids and family. So now I just take it back to that. And I'll even tell them, you know, how do you feel after you hang out with friends? They're like, I feel great. Like, exactly. We all need these things in our lives, like as you were saying, that fill our bucket or fill our cup that then can help us just, you know, be better around them. So the first thing is, you know what? People are always going to make you feel guilty, or you're going to do it to yourself. And it's just a matter of reminding yourself of the benefits of whatever it is you're going to do, right? Or even if, you know what? Even relaxing. We have a hard time just relaxing, right? Because then it's like, I should be cleaning the house, or I should be, you know, making a, you know, dinner or baking or taking the kids to the park or whatever it is. But it's like, no, give yourself permission to relax. Give yourself permission to have a day off or a night off or go see friends. Give yourself permission to do what fills your cup, because the people around you are only going to benefit. And again, it's setting the example. And once you do it often enough, the people around are going to see, and they're going to, you know, stop making you feel so guilty for it.
That's so true. Because I remember when I started taking time for myself, going somewhere alone, being by myself. And I remember coming home thinking the whole house would be upside down. And my husband did well. He did things that I didn't even knew he could do, you
Yeah,
know?
exactly. And ask for help too. I think that's the other thing too, right? I have a client who she wanted time that reminded me, she wanted time by herself. She had a 5-year-old daughter and she wanted time for herself, but she was like, oh, how do I do it? I'm like, ask your husband for help. Like, how could this work? And she's like, well, it might mean he has to dress her then, like get her to school in the morning, or I forget what it was, but it was like getting her ready for something and taking her there. I'm like, okay, well, what's the problem with that? Oh, well, he doesn't really know how, like, what outfits look good and how to do her hair.
It's
I'm
okay.
like, okay, so what's the worst case that could happen? I'm like, is she safe? Yeah. Is she healthy? Yeah. Is she happy with her dad? Yeah. Okay, so what's the worst case that could happen? She shows up in a mismatched outfit
Match.
and her hair looks funny. Is that worth it? Is that worth time for yourself? Usually it is, right? Like, it's the things we build up in our mind that like
That's
everything has
true.
to be perfect. And I talk about that in the book too, our strive for perfection. It's learning to let go of the smaller stuff that doesn't matter in order to be able to fit in the things that you enjoy.
Great, great, great advice you're giving us here. And I would implore everyone to go out and get Shannon's book, Breaking Free. Now, Shannon, I love a good quote, being inspirational to get us motivated, you know. Do you have a favorite quote that guided you through, you know, the writing of the
Yes.
book?
So I have my book here,
Yes.
and in it, I think it's on the first page. Hold on. Yes. So in it, I have, let no one cage who you were born to be. Unfortunately, it's anonymous. I don't know who said it. And that's why I chose birds and breaking free and things like that, because I think it's just a reminder that each of us was created unique for a reason, right? Each of us has special gifts. And we need to let those go. We need to break free and let us shine, you know, our light and our gifts and our wonderfulness onto the world, and not try to pretend to be somebody else, because you're the only you that will ever be born.
Love that. Don't let anybody cage you in.
Yes.
I love that. Be you. Break free, guys. Break free. And I know, Shannon, in writing books, you know, when you're doing things, there's always highs and lows in the journey. So can you share with us, like, either a funny moment, an embarrassing moment, or just a moment that resonated with you while writing the book, going through that process?
Yeah, I have. Good question. I'm like trying to funny moment. I think it was just like reliving some of the stories. Like in it, I share a story about how when I was in university, I went and knocked on a tour bus of a rock band here in Canada. So probably not well known anywhere else, but I went and knocked on the tour bus because I thought the band was super cool, loved their music, and I wanted to hang out with them that night. And my girl, not by myself, I went with my friends, but like we just went up and knocked on this bus and we're like, hey, come out with us. We really like your music and we were like, let's hang out. And just like remembering some of the times when I was bold and brave, and that's kind of my mantra is big, bold, brave. And it's just kind of fun to look back and be like, oh yeah, I did it back then and I can do it again. And just remembering what lights me up and how to have fun. And you know, we all have those stories, and not to say we want to live in the past or that we want to get back to who that was, but just remembering, you know, what it was like when we were really authentic and living more freely and having fun.
I love that. Love, you know, always being bold, brave. And as he said in the book, think back to 5 years, 10 years, when you were a kid, you said kids is not only kids that dream. You know, we should dream too. And I love that. What are our dreams? Think about our dreams and try to live that. Go back and try to be out there. Don't get stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's true. Like I had dreams when I was in high school. I dreamt of being an author and I dreamt of being a speaker. But I was like, those aren't jobs. Those aren't real careers. Like, how does somebody make a living from those things? So I said, no, Shannon, like those aren't real paths. I have to go to business school, have to get, you know, a real job and a real career path. And that's what I did. But it's, you know, sometimes those dreams, sometimes they go away and they weren't meant for you. And that's okay. They can change. But in my case, they were just always kind of there hanging over me. And it wasn't until my late 30s where I was like, okay, yes, you can chase your dream, Shannon. Why not? What's the risk? What's the, and this is a question I ask myself all the time. What's the worst case that can happen when you chase your dreams? Like, can you test them out and see what happens? And then you'll either know, okay, yeah, that is the right path, or it's not, but it will no longer be one of those things that hangs over you. And another thing I talk about, which is really morbid, but I think it's important to do is, you know, at the end, you know, of a long, happy life, what do you want your obituary to say?
Okay.
Right. What do you want people as they're, you know, at your funeral talking about you, what do you want to be remembered for? And for me, it was like, well, are they going to remember that I worked in banking, you know, my whole life? Probably not. They're probably going to remember I was really busy. I was really stressed. It's like, I didn't want that to be my story. I wanted to create a new story. And that's what I did.
I love that. That's true. What do you want your obituary to say?
No, it's so morbid, but it's important.
Because people won't remember where you worked, or no, they remember the kindness. They remember your personality, what you did for them. You know, the things, those are the things that stand out. The personal touches. That's so true, Shannon. And I mean, wrapping up now, what advice would you give our listeners and your readers who are kind of doubting themselves and doubting their potential? What advice would you give them right now to unleash that potential, to break free?
Just say, go for it. Honestly, go for it. It's the only way you're going to be able to see if it will bring more happiness or joy to you or not. And it's like, just try it out. Test it out. Let yourself overcome these obstacles, your fears, your BS, all that stuff, and just go for it.
Go for it. And you said that in the book, trust your gut.
Trust your gut.
Trust your gut feeling.
Yes. Yes. Trust your gut and do it. Don't listen to your head. Your head's going to tell you not to do it. Trust your gut and what it's telling you.
Love that. Love, love, love that. Thank you, Shannon. The book, as I said, I read the book and I love it. The book was simple to understand. I love that, concepts, everything was just simple. The stories, the book was personal with the stories and your experiences, your journey, sharing all of that. I love that. And I love that it had the actionable exercises in it to help us, to guide us to break free or embrace change and just breaking free and be happy.
Yes. Well, thank
So
you.
I loved the book. So people, get the book, Breaking Free by Shannon Talbot. There you go. I have the e-copy. It's really simple. It's really fun. You won't be bogged down because sometimes people think, these books and you're getting a lot of these concepts that no. Easy to read, full of experiences, Shannon's journey. So it's very engaging. So
thank you. And
thank
do
you.
The exercises. If you're reading it, do the exercises. I know they might sound silly or like work and stuff, but they can really help you break free.
Thank you. So thank you again, Shannon. Thank you for coming and sharing with us about your book and your experiences. How can
Thanks
people
so much.
reach you?
Well, thanks so much for having me. It was so fun. And you can reach me. My website is shannontalbot.com. I'm on LinkedIn, Shannon Talbot, and Instagram, Shannon_Talbot_coaching.
And where can they get the book?
And you can get the book on Amazon, or you can also go to my webpage, shannontalbot.com/book, and you'll find it there, but also available on Amazon as ebook, hardcover, paperback, all three versions.
Great, great, great. So go ahead and get the book, my listeners. Thank you so much, Shannon.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Mindful the Podcast. Now, if you want to watch this episode, you can view it on our YouTube channel or see the clips on our Instagram page at Mindful the Podcast. Now, guys, don't forget to share. Share this podcast with a family member, a friend, or even someone you think will benefit from this podcast and these conversations. So until next time, see ya!